Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. The Friends of Wesleyville Village are shifting into high gear as they aspire to garner more attention and look to undertake some major fundraising. On today's show, Wendy Schroeder, Community Programming Coordinator for the Friends of Wesleyville Village, will talk about plans to form a fundraising committee to undertake a major campaign. She will also provide the history of Wesleyville, the background on the Friends, and some of the programming taking place. I'm absolutely delighted to welcome to the show today Wendy Schroeder, Community Programming Coordinator for the Friends of Wesleyville Village. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
For people who don't know, what is Wesleyville Village?
So Wesleyville Village is a collection of four buildings in their original state that were once part of the village of Wesleyville. And at one time, there were a lot more farmhouses and businesses and buildings in the area, but these are the four that remain. And I think what's really significant about them is that they are in their original placement. They're the original buildings. They weren't brought in from anywhere else, and they haven't been significantly changed over the years.
Can we get a bit of the history of Wesleyville? Because I understand it's been around a very, very long time.
Yes, absolutely. So it was a thriving village, I'm going to say, starting in the 1840s through the 1860s, there was a lot of farming development in the area. A lot of the families that lived there, you know, had businesses as part of their farms. So there would have been, blacksmith services. There was a post office, lots of sort of side businesses that people would have run from their homestead. I think at one point there was even a tavern. and I guess there was a church. There was originally a school further east, which burned down. And then at that point, the new Wesleyville School was built in 1899. So it was really quite a community. That's the key. It was a thriving small community.
It's my understanding that in the 1860s, as you say, there was a tavern there. There was a blacksmith shop, as you said, a machine shop. There was a cobbler, a carpenter. So it sounded like a very vibrant place.
Absolutely. I think there was a lot of life in the area.
Now, Ontario Power Generation bought the lands for a generating station in the 1970s. What happened to the buildings?
So a lot of the buildings were boarded up. At the time, Ontario Power Generation was planning the development of the Wesleyville plant. And so as they purchased the buildings, they were boarded, they were sort of left abandoned. Although they didn't go ahead with those plans, it certainly affected the region quite greatly. So a lot of the buildings have been lost to time.
Now, when did the effort begin to save the heritage?
I'm going to say about 2009. That's when the group was formed, the Friends of Wesleyville Village. And really, I think they saw a purpose in the buildings and a purpose in sharing the heritage of the area. And I would say they were a very dedicated group of people, you know, who started out. And since then, they've come a long way in preserving the buildings, in restoring a lot of the buildings themselves, but also creating a new community in Wesleyville, in that, you know, with the public use of the buildings, people can now access them. We can access the heritage. We can use the site. And there's definitely a sense of community among the people that support the village, attend the events, and would like to see it further restored and grow for the future.
What is the mission of the Friends of Wesleyville Village? What is your purpose then?
So the purpose is to conserve the natural environment, to preserve the buildings, and to share the history and heritage with the public.
So let's talk about the four buildings. Tell us about the church.
So the church, when the group first got together, they started using the church for community events, inviting people in for markets, shows, activities. And it really was a gathering space for the community. And unfortunately, in 2021, there was an act of arson. And some unknown people lit a fire at the front door. And thankfully, we had caretakers on site who realized that the fire was happening very, very early in the morning and were able to call emergency services. So, and I say thankfully, simply because had it not been seen, the damage could have been far, far worse.
Now, I understand the church has a very interesting history as well. My understanding is that it was a Methodist church, at least as early as 1845. What purpose did it serve in the community in more recent history?
So I'm not actually sure the year that the church was closed. It's still owned by the United Church of Canada, and it sits just south of a graveyard, which is still an active graveyard. So it is in use today. And we lease the church from the United Church of Canada. We don't care for the graveyard. That has its own separate board. But certainly it was an active church community well into the 1960s. And although I don't know which year it was closed, I can certainly find that out for you.
After the fire, what happened?
Well, it is a designated heritage building. It received its designation in 2016. And the structure of the building, the exterior structure, is sound. Most of the damage from the fire was interior, near the front entrance, and the heat from the fire damaged a lot of the windows. So in 2021, when that happened, there was actually a really large outpouring of support from the local community. So not just the community of people that were familiar with Wesleyville, but people in Port Hope and in Cobourg and even in Durham region and beyond really pitched in, donated a lot of money and a lot of time and effort to ensure that we would be able to restore the church and open the doors again. So really the restoration is a four-phase project, and we're currently in phase three. Phase two was recently completed in 2024, and that was the addition of an accessibility ramp and an accessibility entrance at the back of the church. One of the reasons that's important is that when you're restoring an older building, you want to make sure when you reopen those doors that everything is up to code. And so this modernizes it in a way that still respects its history. That was installed in 2024 thanks to an Ontario Trillium Foundation grant. And now through the winter and into the spring in 2025, the door was replaced, the front door and the transom window. And currently the Henderson construction team is on site and they're working on the rest of the windows around the church. So through the summer, people will be able to see windows being replaced and letting light back into the structure.
Was it stained glass that was in the windows originally, and is it being replaced with stained glass?
Yes. Yes, it absolutely was a beautiful blue-toned stained glass, blue and white. And we were able to find the right color of stained glass, so they will be replaced basically to their original state and appearance.
What are the plans for the future of the building? You said that it's at stage three of the restoration. What is stage four and what happens after that?
Okay, so that's where it gets very exciting. Stage four, we've applied for a grant through the Trillium Foundation to complete phase four. If completed, when completed, it will grant us an occupancy permit, so we'll be able to open the doors again. So stage four includes finishing the interior to a minimum state, so priming the walls and repairing the inside surfaces, basically so that we'll be able to welcome the public back. So,
what about after that? Have you discussed at all what's going to happen once people can get inside? What sort of things are you going to do?
Okay, so in the past, we've had lots of events inside the church. We do a caroling event in December. We do markets and workshops throughout the season. So we plan to immediately start doing that, of course. But the church is also available for rental when opened. So we have had weddings there. We hope to get back to hosting weddings in the space. And really, any sorts of uses that the community would have for this type of space, we are looking forward to hosting people again.
I'd like to move on and talk about the Y House. What is the Y House?
The Y House is a very interesting piece of architecture. It is, if seen from above, it is shaped like a Y. The front ends pop out with the door recessed in the angle of the Y. And it currently serves as the full-time residence of our caretakers. And our caretakers are on the site to keep an eye on everything. They do some property maintenance, but they're also sort of our boots on the ground so that we know what's happening out there and we have eyes in the space. Recently in 2024, we've added a reception area on the east side of the Y House that hosts board meetings and also serves as a bit of a home base for when we have events.
Now, is it in its original state or has it been renovated beyond the reception area?
It was renovated prior to our caretakers moving in. I don't have all of the details on those renovations, but there were definitely some renovations required because I believe it had been sitting empty for some time.
What are the plans for its future?
So we do have a lot of plans for the future of the Y House, and really they're dependent on funding. So currently it is wrapped in insul brick, which is quite outdated, and we would love to see the outside of the building restored to its original state in its original materials. There's lots of restoration that we could be doing, even with the architectural details in the house. But of course, it is dependent on funding.
The schoolhouse has an interesting history. Could you share with us just how it came to be?
The school originally was located further down the road, and there was a fire. And so this schoolhouse was built fairly quickly to replace it. So 1899, and it was definitely a quick job to put up a new schoolhouse so there was a school. And it did serve as a one-room schoolhouse for all of the grades in the area. It was heated by a wood stove with a pipe that ran through the building. And it had a small cloakroom and a small kitchen area. And now when I say kitchen area, really it was a place to keep water. So they would have had a ladle to dip their water into the cups. And it was in operation until, I believe, 1967.
What are your plans for this building?
So this building currently serves as an event space for us. So we have member gatherings there. If we have a member appreciation event, we can host it there. We recently added electricity to the schoolhouse. So in the evenings, we can have the lights on. We have a Halloween event for kids, and so now we're able to use that in the evening as well. And our plans, really, we would like to see the interior of the schoolhouse restored. A lot of the interior is still in its original condition as it was in 1967. And so we would like to see that cleaned up and restored as well. Now, there's really something else interesting about the schoolhouse. When it ceased to be a school, it was originally purchased by a family who used it as a weekend property through the 70s until I believe it was purchased by OPG. So it has an interesting history as, a weekend vacation home as well. And one of the children of that family is now a board member with the Friends of Wesleyville Village. So it's a nice connection to have, you know, a board member who remembers using the schoolhouse in a different way.
I understand the fourth building is a barn. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the barn.
So the barn we use mostly as storage. It's very much still in its original condition. It does have a second floor, though we've not been up there. But it really... what I find interesting about the barn, to me, it completes the picture of the village. So you have a homestead where people lived. You have the school where children learned. The barn really represents the work that went on in the property. And then the church sort of represents the community as a whole. So you have this cycle of buildings here that really gives you a sense of all the facets of life.
Tell us more about your organization. Now, you've already mentioned when it was formed, but what brought people together to create the Friends?
Robert, that's a question I don't have an answer for. I am sorry. I can certainly find that out, what the original motivation was, and what the connection was.
How many members does the Friends of Wesleyville Village have?
So we have approximately 200 people that are regular supporters of the organization. And we have 9 board members.
Do you have any staff other than the caretakers that live in the house?
So we do. We have the full-time caretakers. We have myself as community programming coordinator. And we have a summer employee who is always available on Saturdays and Sundays to tour people through the properties and around the site and to talk about the history.
What is your annual budget?
That's another question I don't have an answer for. I am sorry about that. And I think it depends on the year because it really depends on the projects.
What is your fundraising goal for 2025?
Gosh, Robert, let's see. I don't think we have a number, or I'm not authorized to give you a number. So that is something that I can find out for you.
Do you have any long-term fundraising goals?
Yes, I think long-term fundraising goals, we would like to raise capital funds to really restore the rest of the buildings. And that really is on a project by project basis. So whether we're talking 100,000 or 500,000. It really would be based on the projects that are approved. So in terms of a long-term goal, what I can say is there's always going to be a goal. There's always going to be a need.
Because I noticed that on your website, you're pushing hard to create a fundraising committee that's going to be taking this on. Can you tell us a bit about that initiative and what's behind that?
So really, the motivation behind the fundraising committee, because we have these big ideas for the village in terms of restoration, but also in terms of programming. So we say that we want to bring people in and share the heritage of the village. And really to do that, we need to continue to develop our programming. And so the motivation for the fundraising committee, I guess in a nutshell, is to take us from bake sales to something a little more solid for our future. What we're looking for is expertise, people with experience, because what we have a lot of is passion. Our board members are dedicated, passionate people, and our supporters love the village, and they're very passionate about heritage as well. But what we also need is a little bit of extra knowledge and expertise to take us the extra mile and really help us to level up and ensure that the village is still here 10 years from now, 20 years from now for the public.
The group holds a number of events, and I'd like to talk about each of them. First of all, the Easter egg hunt. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. Some of our events are designed for kids. The Easter egg hunt is one of them. It's a free event, and it's open to the public. So anyone is welcome to join us. And they, when they arrive, the kids hunt for eggs around the property. But we also have games for them to play. And it's really quite traditional. So we have egg on spoon races and that sort of thing. And this year we had a small number of animals that joined us for the day so that the kids could see a donkey and some chicks. And it's really quite a family event.
What is the country market?
The country market is, we call it our spring country market and nature fest. And we have a variety of vendors on site. And the last 2 years, we've also had a charity baking auction, which is really a lot of fun. So we had David Puccini as our auctioneer both years. And this year we've raised, I think the total from the event was close to $2,000. So it's a nice event for the public, but it's also a great event for us.
Tell us about the outdoor pop-up music events.
So that's a lot of fun. Every Wednesday through June and July in the evenings, we have a different musician that visits us in front of the schoolhouse and basically puts on a concert for about an hour and 15 minutes. And these concerts are free to the public. It's a very casual and natural setting. So we encourage people to bring a lawn chair and maybe a little bug spray and settle in for the show. So we've had a variety of musicians from fiddlers, country music, just a little bit of everything. And they'll continue through to the end of July.
You mentioned earlier that there are tours on the weekends. Can you tell us about those?
Absolutely. So these are drop-in tours, and our summer employee is available to walk people around. So really, it's not a set tour. It's more having a guide to take you through the property from building to building and answer any questions you might have about the history of the building, the history of the area, you know, some of the architecture in the buildings and some of the plans of the group that cares for these buildings.
I also understand there's an Indigenous Cultural Heritage Day. What's that about?
So that's a chance for us to open the village up, not just to local residents, but to host the Dabajamoan Cultural Center. And they bring in programming for the day. They have sharing circles. I believe they've done a drum circle in the past. to really share some of the Indigenous culture from the area. So from the Wesleyville area specifically, and their culture as well.
Now around Halloween, there is a ghost walk. Are there ghosts in the village?
Now that's a very popular question. We get a lot of questions about whether there are ghosts in the village. I like to tell people that it is a very spirited village in many different ways. So it really depends who you speak with. And there are people who will tell you they have definitely felt a presence in the village. But our Halloween event, the ghostly visit, tends not to be so frightening. It's a little more friendly. And it's also a family event. So during that event, we have activities and games for kids in the schoolhouse, a bonfire on the property for roasting marshmallows. But we also host the nature trail as a spooky walk. So you might find, if you're looking for spirits in the village, you might find that that's a good place to find them and a good time to find them.
You mentioned earlier that there is a Christmas event. Can you share what that's about?
Yeah, so each year in December, we host a caroling event, which is just a lovely way to pull the community together. Really, it's a nice way to kick off seasonal spirit. And it's led usually by Randy Mills, who does a wonderful job. And we sometimes have guest performers as well. And again, you know, it's open to everyone. We invite everybody to come out. And it's a free event. We do take donations for the Northumberland Fair Share Food Bank at the event. And it's an enjoyable evening.
The Ontario government is proposing to build a nuclear power plant in Wesleyville. While it is still early days, that must have your group thinking about the future. So first of all, what was the reaction of the board members on this news?
So I don't think I'd want to speak for specific board members. But I think in general, we are always hopeful and future focused. So of course, our number one priority is always going to be the conservation of the village, the preservation of the heritage of the village, and sharing that with our community. We do lease these properties from OPG, and we're looking forward to the discussions to come with OPG about the importance of the village and the impact that it has for the community, because we believe it has a positive impact. This is a space that's open to everyone. And I would say certainly, now is the time, if people are inclined to share their support with Wesleyville Village, you know, now is the time to show that support, because we want to make sure that everyone knows it's there for community use.
What kinds of impacts do you think this will have on your activities?
It's really hard to say. And I think it's much too early for us to make a prediction. We really, you know, what we're doing is looking forward to working with OPG, having those discussions, and really, again, trying to remain highly focused on the conservation of the village. That is our main goal.
The village is located so close to the site right now, the power generation site that's there. Do you think it may harm efforts to attract people to your village?
We certainly hope not. We think Wesleyville is a gem. It's a beautiful natural space with heritage buildings and a nature trail and an amazing, peaceful feeling. So we certainly hope nothing harms people's motivation to come and visit us.
Have you connected with OPG?
We do have regular conversations with OPG as we rent, lease the land from them and the buildings. So we are in regular contact.
What are they telling you about the future?
Well, I think we have a really good relationship with OPG. But in terms of what they're telling us, I think it's too soon. And I think, you know, what we know is that there will be a lot of assessments done. And we, you know, we want to make sure we're part of the conversation moving forward and be involved in as much as we can be to, you know, further our interests, which again, you know, back down to the conservation of the village.
What is your relationship like with Port Hope Council?
That's a very good question. I think we have a very good relationship with Town Council. And again, I really don't want to speak for the board members here.
What do various politicians say to your group about the work that you're doing and its vision for that area?
I think it's very well received. Certainly any feedback that we have had from local politicians is, again, hopeful and excited for the future of Wesleyville. It certainly has a lot of potential. We would like to see more of that potential realized. And any feedback that we've had has been very positive.
Well, are they your champions?
I would like to think so, yes.
What are the long-range plans now going forward?
So going forward, the long-range plans are to continue with the restoration of the buildings. You know, most urgently, we'd like to see the church reopened. So we're pushing forward now through phase three. We should know later this year whether we were successful in our grant application for phase four. I think, you know, from the public's view, they might drive by and have seen the windows of the church boarded up since 2021, and they might wonder if anything is actually happening there. And there has been so much that's been going on. And we're now just finally reaching the stage where the windows are being replaced and you're going to be able to see that progress from the outside. So really our main push right now, our main focus is to continue moving forward with the church renovations to get those doors open again and welcome people back. Ultimately, the long-term goal is to have the doors open on all of the buildings and invite people in regularly. We see Wesleyville as a thriving, energetic space, and certainly one with lots of potential for public use. So whether that's service groups or clubs that are looking for spaces to rent, whether that's private functions like weddings or birthday parties, we see these buildings as a wonderful place to make that happen. And I shouldn't forget to mention the incredible natural environment that exists there through the nature trail. And so the grounds are always open for people to come and wander through these areas. And so ultimately the long-term plan is that more people know about us. More people are using the space as a community hub, and that sort of vibrant community can continue to grow.
Wendy Schroeder, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you so much, Robert. I appreciate it.
That was Wendy Schroeder, Community Programming Coordinator for the Friends of Wesleyville Village. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.